very good evening to you all, faithful listeners of Life Lessons and faithful listeners of Eagle FM. You are tuned into Eagle FM, of course, your number one talk radio station right here. Now, I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I'm here to host the Life Lessons right about this time from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Now, of course, the time now is 5 minutes past the hour of 1900 hours. Okay. And of course, whenever you do hear Toby Mac speak live, you should know that I'm just on a Saturday or not on any other time, just on a Saturday, right about this time, then you should know that I'm just somewhere nearby about to pop in and keep you company for the next 2 hours. Now you can trust me. You will be safe in my care, of course, alongside my guest. Now tonight we're joined by a very young man in studio who is a digital creator. He's a traveler, you all, and he's a humanist. And I was like, this title actually fits him quite well. And he's a qualified teacher. I'm talking about none other than Peter Sena Nyonanye. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Such a pleasure to have you, hey? I must really say. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
You know, when I first stumbled upon your Facebook posts, and I saw a video that you posted there, and you're making a video it was right in your kabashu.
Yeah.
And I think you went to buy some fruits or something. And I was just like, who is this guy? Like, who is this person? Like, it's not everybody that is so, you know, social media has become all about perfectionist, you know,
go
to a friend's place or that is seeming and a beautiful wall and beautiful furniture and make it look like, you know, this is all yours. But you're just comfortable in your own environment. I mean, Peterson. Okay. Tell us about that. Before you tell us who is Peterson, tell us about that aspect of you.
I think, to be honest, it was quite a difficult journey to begin with.
Oh, okay.
And it's not easy because you just have these, you know, questions flooding your mind, flooding your brain. What would people think?
Yeah.
What will this person think? Yeah. Okay. Maybe this does not look pleasing. I will not get a certain amount of expectations that I need with my views and likes. And I was like, what is going on? Or should I do it? Should I not do it? Then I had to approach one of my mentors, and then we did self-reflection. We did a bit of knowing about yourself and what you really want. Like, if you want to start doing content creation, what do you want? Are you doing it for me? Are you doing it for people? And I've reflected that I want to do it for me.
I
actually want to learn on the journey. I want to be recording my journey of life to see what do I really like? What do I really get? Who am I there if I have to be in public?
And then it just got to that point where you are completely comfortable. You couldn't care less. You know?
I could say let's say 65 to 75% comfortable, because you still get areas where you're crazy. I cannot record links. Like in the mall, it's quite a bit uncomfortable because you don't know about the security policy wise issues. But it doesn't really entirely go away, but it comes with levels of you being comfortable.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll reach a 95% one day.
Yeah. Ne?
Yeah.
No, but no, speaking about your own environment, you're probably the type of person go to the village and be taking content of you. I want to say it in the Shuambo now, warming water there by on the three stove, you know? And that is just so wonderful. That's one aspect that really about you that really stood out for me. I was impressed with that. And I'm thumbs up to you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Anyway, who is Peterson? When we're talking about Peterson, who is he? Where did he grow up? How was his upbringing like, school wise, up from, you know, maybe grade one, I don't know, and then take us through to high school, over to university.
So, who's Peterson? Honestly, I would classify myself as just a loving person, if I may be. You can't be nice until some people say that you're nice.
It's
a word to say that you can't tell yourself that you are the nicest person in the world. People must tell you that. But to be honest, I'm one of those, I just want to be the change that I want to see into my communities and into people. I just want to strive to see difference mm-hmm. in people's lives and in communities. That's me. Like, I want to be the change and I want to be unique. I want to be different. And yeah, with my life, I grew up in Babylon.
Okay.
Like, that is the hoods of the informal outskirts of Windhoek.
Yeah.
I think that was the area that was like developed later is on, like extending from others. Like, but yeah, I think it's one of the developments that were there first,
okay.
to be honest. Like,
yeah.
that side of Okahanja Park and all those areas,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it extended to Oshitenda, going all the way. So yeah, I grew up there.
Yeah.
I schooled at Bright Hill Project School, where I currently was doing few things here and there, but like I did not find any of my previous teachers there because it was long back.
Yeah.
Like, I would always go after school and I would just yeah. find kids and then, you know, we do some few things with the kids at the school.
Yeah.
And, also, yeah, high school wise, I schooled at Academia Secondary School.
Mm-hmm. Were you taking cab all the way from Babylon to Academia?
No. Okay. Oh. Interesting sake, actually.
Okay.
It was so hard to get actually, cause you have to wake up 4 a.m. to get onto the bus. Like, so you catch the municipality bus.
Yeah.
I think that time it was not even friendly hours. It's either you catch it or not.
Or not. I remember yeah. when I was going to UNAM and I used to be so frustrated
yes,
that I have to
like,
go with the bus.
It's not like now it's a bit flexible because you have the Calefas and so on.
Mm.
So yeah, with high school, like, my life skills teacher, I spoke to my life skills teacher about it and I was like, you know what? This is a struggle.
Yeah.
4 a.m. I get to school and it's tiring in the morning. Mm. Like, yeah. And, we tried looking for a hostel nearby, which was HDS, the next hostel. And it was hard. Like, there was no space. I remember, I applied. And then they called us and then we got in. I was like, okay, no, you can come. I think someone else was calling. I think the assistant and then they called us. I was like, oh no, come in. And we got in and then they said, no, you're not supposed to be here. The superintendent, Mr. Lowe, I remember.
Yeah.
He was saying, no, you're not supposed to be here. The hostel is full. I was on a bunk, but that time I already even made up my bed. I was so excited.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
Oh, wow. Then, yeah.
Oh, you were, because you are in another school,
yeah.
in another hostel.
And then you walk
school.
Like to an,
yeah.
to a school, cause they're just nearby each
yeah.
other, like Academia
mm-hmm.
and HDS.
Mm-hmm.
And then, long story short, I had to call my mom, like, you know, I'm being chased out in the evening,
yeah.
you know, my mattresses, my blankets and so on. And then, yeah, she comes, she literally cried. So I think if it was not for her tears, I would have not been into the hostel. And
yeah.
I think hostel had brought me so much passion in life.
Yeah.
And it's seen me like, you know, grow in terms of seeing people from different backgrounds
yeah.
and seeing different personalities, people
yeah.
like, yeah. And fast forward to university. Yeah. I applied again. Courtesy to my life skills teachers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It was always my teachers that are in there for me and my mom. I
yeah,
think those are
yeah.
my greatest pillars of strength and support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got in, managed 2 years, not really having a place. Like most of the time, like classes really go out late.
Mm.
So I had mainly to like sleep in the study center most of the time and also family dynamics.
Yeah.
Or sleeping at school, like, exam wise also. And then I would also go to school of medicine, go to the auditorium, sleep there, but they don't allow people to sleep there anymore. But yeah, and then fast forward, I got, to go in an assistant program, which is a student assistant program,
mm-hmm.
For Directorate of Student Affairs at UNAM.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I got a chance to get hostel space. But the problem was topping up. So I got a contract where I would pay, like, you know, on my small salary I get,
mm-hmm.
I just need to top up for myself at the hostel. But I managed. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Hoping
yeah.
for the best. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, that's a nice, interesting story. I love how you're so coordinated.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe hence why, your passion for being a teacher, maybe because you're so impressed with the way your life skills teacher would help you out and other teachers. Is that one of the reasons
yes.
why? No?
Yes. I think my motivation started from, I think there was this, my grade 3 teacher Miss Kamunjenjere,
yeah.
Miss Valeria Angula, Mr. Highbody. And I think those are the people that really see through me to become a teacher today, to be honest, like the way they taught, how, and Miss Mukwanimo, also Tekla, Mukwanime Tekla, I think she was my social studies teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are just people, like, I would look at them teach and I'm like, I also want to teach like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're enjoying the subject and you are just grade 5, 6, 7, you're just enjoying the subject and this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, honestly, from the aspect side of like most of the people that played an important role in my life, it's more females. And really they have inspired me a lot. And I remember I used to steal chalk. My teacher would ask me, please, Peterson, clean the classroom. And I would like steal these chalks, you know, the ones that I left on the board.
Yeah.
And I'll go into at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going home and then I'll call all the street of my friends, come together. So I teach you on the, you know, corrugated iron.
Yeah,
and
then
start writing like a teacher. And I enjoyed marking. I love to, you know, I would take a magazine and I'll just like be ticking like I'm a teacher and then I'll write there. Very good, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it's really passion. But as we grow, you know, passion doesn't pay for ways, but like it's okay.
I think it does with time.
Yeah, with time, maybe.
With time.
Let's hope with time.
Yeah, yeah. With time. Yes. Let's give it time. I'm sure it will actually work out.
Yeah.
Okay, finally. And then you started vlogging.
Yeah.
Do they also call it vlogging? Vlogging. Or is that on something different?
Like, I think I just started, I just wanted to make videos. Okay, my initial motivation was like, to do like, you know, to be a video editor.
Mm.
I was just like, hey, what if I one day want to open up a business or want to be a teacher to teach online?
Serious?
So
how
old are you, you know? And one great person told me the only way you could become great of something is when you are doing of that something. And you become of that something.
Yeah.
So I was like, anyways, let's just start the videos.
Yeah,
let's start making content.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I was so, because it's a mental processing, to be honest.
Mm.
I think people that are on social media with funny making comment remarks and all these things, like, they don't realize how much mental processing it is to actually just go on there and, you know, start doing your thing that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also there are some that are really mentally strong when it comes to being there out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that, you know, take those comments to heart and then suicide and all these
problems
that are coming. So,
yeah.
Like, I made a decision to say that you are going to get bad comments.
Mm-hmm.
You are not the first person on the internet.
Yeah.
So, like, you must be ready for it and it's going to be there. You are going to find annoying people. You are going to find people that are mocking. And actually, people don't realize that the more you mock someone, the more you make them famous. So I can't wait for that part.
Actually, hey, you know what? Talking about that.
Yeah.
The other day, I think it was some weeks ago, I reflected on a particular family member who makes really, who speaks like she writes like somebody who doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? On social media, whether it's on Facebook, on WhatsApp, she writes like, her life is all together.
Yeah.
Like, she writes bad comments and, but you know what? In real life, her life is not together at all. Like it's not, you know, so much crumbling is happening. And I was just reflecting on it. Like, if only people on social media knew the person that's writing, you would actually feel pity for them.
For that person, to be honest. Yes.
And then I asked myself, now, do you write bad comments so you can make yourself feel better? But of course that doesn't work because two wrongs don't make one right.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, anyway, for anyone out there who's receiving bad comments on social media, you know what I would say? You ignore them.
Honestly.
You know? Yeah.
There's a block option. There's a delete option.
Exactly. And not only that, you'll find some people not liking your content.
Yeah.
And you'll find some people
are loving it.
That are loving it.
Yes.
And you're making an impact in their lives, you know? Yeah. Like, I could literally was probably having a bad day. Maybe let's say I'm staying in a particular place where I'm not so happy. And then I see you being so comfortable about your own place. And I'm like, reminded to just be appreciative and be content.
Gratitude. Yeah.
Gratitude. Of what I have.
You know, actually, what is the sweetest thing, happy? Like,
yeah.
I'm currently working at, at the school, mm-hmm. not as full time, yeah. but like, yeah, assisting here and there. And you know, I get into a class and the kids are like, say, I know you from somewhere. I know you. Yeah, say, I saw you on TikTok. And they're all like, say, we love your TikTok. I was like, wow. And I just feel like it gave so much inspiration to one of the kids, actually. And you know what is the funny thing? I usually come with a Khalifa to work.
Like, yeah.
Uh-huh. Every morning, uh-huh. I'll take a Khalifa to go. And you know, there are kids in high school that are really shy about that. You know, they're not comfortable. So they would rather go to the highway and try to get taxi. And they will not get the taxi because you are living far.
Yeah.
Some do foot to UNAM to go get the minibuses, but some are just scared to go there. So I've realized there are some kids that actually just got inspired to say that, you know what?
If
I'm going to get my Khalifa, my municipality bus and got on if my teacher is going in there. I can also do it if my teacher is going, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something beautiful, honestly, that is, like that I saw that, like, wow.
And that's something like, wow. Authentic.
Yeah.
You're being authentic.
Yeah.
You know that, right? I think we must push that name within your names there. Authentic. No, really, you are. I love that about somebody. You know what? It's not every day. You know, if there's anything that I love and the most of the people that I really look up to mm-hmm. is people who are comfortable in their skin. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People who are comfortable with who they are. You get? Who are ready to take ownership of this is me. This is happy. I don't care what you have to say, but you got to deal with me, you know, as I am. I'm not going to change for you.
Yeah.
And you're being just that, Peterson. You're being authentic. You're owning up to where you are and, the environment where you come from, mm-hmm. not being ashamed about it. And that's a whole big deal because we are living in a world where everything is so fast. You must keep up with the pace. You must look a certain way. You must dress a certain way so you can fit in. Yeah. For who actually, huh?
Yeah.
For who must we actually fit in? Like, why can't we just be loved for who we are and for where we are coming from?
Yeah.
And I would say you should carry that. That's, I feel like that's your signature.
Thank you.
And you ought to carry it to the very end, to wherever. If you find yourself on an American stage and they have to ask you where you're from, be proud to say, I grew up in Babylon.
Yeah,
you get?
Thank you.
Yeah. But I'm really so appreciative of that.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, okay. So then, as you now inspire some of those kids when you come with a Khalifa to school, how does that make you feel generally?
Honestly, like, I just feel happy. Giving out to community.
Yeah.
I think it's something that my mom has instilled in me so much. Like just to be nice
mm-hmm.
because being also nice. I think if it was not me being good to people out there, even though as much as you don't feel like your energy is being driven back to you, you know, you are the one exhausting, you are doing this for everybody, you are being available, you are being there, you are laughing, you are making people's time, you know, the momentous areas in their lives, you know. And I think you don't have to care about what you are getting back. As long as you know that you're passing it on to the next person. And honestly, if it wasn't for me being like, you know, being the honest, being the good person to someone that needs it, if it wasn't for that, I would not be sitting on this chair today. I would not have been on air.
Yeah.
I would have not been traveling. It's because of
exactly. The
people, like, you know, spreading love, spreading kindness to people that need it.
Yeah.
Being honest. It's one of the most important things as well.
And people underrate that, hey.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was not somebody who was accustomed to telling lies.
Yeah.
And even now at this age, I won't lie my way out of a situation. No. I can preserve some information away from somebody. That doesn't mean I would lie. You know, so that aspect of being honest and integrity, doing the right thing when nobody's looking,
mm-hmm.
is something that people overlook.
Yeah.
But it's an important aspect that propels us to have a great future ahead.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's like, the reason why we have corruption is because of the lack of honesty,
for example. Yeah.
The discrimination is a lack of honesty.
Mm.
Bullying, lack of honesty.
Yeah.
All the immoral things you can think about, like, it's just because of honesty. It's either honesty to yourself,
mm-hmm.
honesty to your society, honesty to your reality, and honesty to your relationships.
Mm.
If you are not honest, then all these things come piling up. And I think I've tried, and as you said, that there's things that you should close to and off for. So like, it doesn't mean entirely you have to be honest about anything, but like,
you don't, no, that's not the right terminology. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to disclose everything.
Yes. It doesn't mean you have to disclose what your life, like, you know, what is
your personal life,
your personal life. No. And I understand, like, sometimes, honestly, speaking from a background of, like, you know, marginalization, it's a thing of, like, when you need help, you need to speak up.
Mm.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
If you are coming from an impoverished area and you need help, unfortunately, there are some things that don't become personal anymore.
True.
And I was watching a movie, Straw, because everyone was going around it. Straw.
Yeah.
And you know, there's one line that touched me. So
I didn't watch it. I just heard about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should. There's one line. It's not the best of films because it's so overly dramatic, but I understood the aspect of it.
Okay.
And there's a lady that said, nobody understands that poverty is expensive. And
woo!
I think that caught me as well, to say that it's expensive to be poor. Like, you know, it's expensive, not in terms of like money wise, emotionally, mentally, physically.
Honey, please talk about
it.
I went through something in my life and that got me from A to Z, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one particular time that I would walk, like, I grew up in this, I don't want to take away from your story, but I just want to kind of make it authentic. Yeah. So then I remember I would walk from Greenwell to Vanaida, to attend church. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And church was something that kept me going, Peterson,
because
everything else was failing. School was failing. Yeah. Marriage was failing. My children were in the north. I was only with my daughter and poverty was hitting hardcore.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody who used to stay in a flat before and paying $4,000 cash per month.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I didn't even have $20 to go to town.
Yeah.
And my mom monthly would send me $1,000. My God. And I looked at myself sometimes in the mirror and I said, God, you have blessed me with some wisdom. And am I going to go to my grave with this knowledge or what?
Yeah.
So it's really expensive to be poor because you constantly have to encourage yourself.
Yeah.
You constantly have to remind yourself, no, it's fine. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
You know? I hear you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the lines that really I resonated with. It's like, actually, that's a good line.
Yeah.
Out of the whole movie summing up,
that's
one thing that I say I've watched the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, and I think people don't actually realize that, but like, and also trying, you know, and there was actually one great thing that I read from one of my status views. I think it was on from Sankara, one of also good, great leaders and student advocate and youth advocate. And also he really good advocate for informal settlers as well.
Yeah.
So like, he said there was something that, he wrote on and he was like, you know, as much as we try to succeed from informal settlements, I become a teacher today, I leave, or I become a doctor.
Ooh.
I become an engineer and I, you know, upgrade my life.
Of course, I live in Auckland Park.
Yeah.
One thing
that the question that really touched me was like, if we are all leaving, who's going to be an inspiration for that one young man in those informal settlements? If we are all leaving, like, and that also hit me hard. And it has been a question that is, you know, running in my mind to say that really, like, if we look in our community, especially informal settlement areas, how many teachers do we have there? How many doctors do we have?
But people used to go from there to go to school. And graduated eventually.
But like, I'm just saying that if we don't have these people that exist in our society today.
And staying there to upgrade the community.
And staying there. Imagine having a doctor that lives in an informal settlement.
Yeah.
Won't that girl or that boy be like, I also want to be a doctor one day.
Mm.
So I just also, I think that is something that really also told me to say that, yo, like, if one day life has to, and I believe it will be great, because everyone wants to live away from poverty, and we all want to, you know, make our parents proud and all these things, but I wish to come back as well.
Yeah.
I wish to come back one day, having to come into my community and bring food and cook with this family, yeah. even just for a
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
I'd want to be that.
Or even upgrade your parents' yeah. house. You know, we're so fast to go and live in a flat.
Yeah.
But who's stopping you from actually upgrading yeah. your mom's place?
Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah. You can actually do that.
Yourself, yeah.
yeah.
It's easy to do, to be honest. Like, and it's so, like, and I think what is important is that the government itself doesn't mm-hmm. understand that there's so much creativity
mm-hmm.
and there's so much talent within informal settlement areas. Like, if they could just invest, to be honest, hopefully, we are hoping for good governance this
exactly.
five coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And now we have a short scheduled commercial break coming up, but stay tuned. We'll be back before you know it.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 Hi Baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
And we are back. Like I said, you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. Now tonight we're talking about being content. Now the other time, I think it was 2 weeks back, I spoke about godliness with contentment and I was all by myself preaching to you guys about being content. And now I have the right person that we can really now, you know, put his face behind being content. Now Peter said, of course, I want to know. No, there's a question that I wanted to pop up before yeah. I actually forget.
Yeah.
Now, before you started doing, making your videos and yeah. digital content creator and whatnot, mm-hmm. did you wait for a specific phone? I'm asking this. Oh, oh, did you just blow in my chair?
Good question. To be honest,
yeah.
I had to wait for a better phone. Because okay. number yeah. one, I was like, if I need to create content,
yeah.
I need to get better storage.
Yeah, that's true.
And honestly, I've worked hard for it. I've worked hard for yeah, all my
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
And once I put a goal towards something, I'm going to get it.
Cool.
Yeah. So like I had to get, not really to say that I want a better camera quality, even yeah. though it's something that every content creator wants to strive to have. I would then be mad if someone says, no, here's an iPhone 16 for you. And honestly, that's yeah. what I want. I want the quality.
Yeah.
Honestly, but like, more of what is important was for me was the storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like, you know, had to get like, you know, if not a good, but just a better phone that is the specs are good, you know,
yeah,
that I can use for a long term and uh-huh. all that, yeah,
yeah, okay,
yeah,
and then finally saved up for it and finally got it.
I got it,
yeah,
I got it,
uh-huh.
not the best, but it's doing the job,
yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's what we have
yes,
at the moment,
it's what we have at
and
the
we'll
moment.
Make use of what we have
yes.
at the moment while yes. the good is coming or yes. the better is coming.
Yes.
Cool. I love that. I love that energy. Okay. Now let's talk about traveling. I love traveling myself, but I'm like sitting on the bus or, okay. I don't like, I love getting at that
the
particular
destination
yes, but
the journey of it.
Anyway, let's talk about the traveling.
Okay. To be honest, traveling was, okay, traveling is very political, to
yeah.
be honest.
Okay.
It's something that is not easy. It's very political.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got great people that got to, you know, have a journey with me on my travels
yeah.
and they've motivated me so much to start doing more. But however, like, I think it's really, okay, the concept of expensive, like, it's the same as we are talking now. Like, you know, flying in Africa from other, to other African countries.
It's expensive.
It's expensive, but when, if I have to fly to Europe,
it's literally almost the same price.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's just that is, you know, preventing us. Even our kids nowadays are being taught in geography, landscape, whatever, but do they actually get the opportunity to see those landscapes? No, because, it is expensive, to be honest. And I just feel like, school curriculum should be more inclusive when it comes, like, you know, tour places. Mm. When they're teaching kids about landscapes, they should be able to offer tours to those landscapes, because you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I was just so surprised, like, my friend that is a foreign national knows more Namibia than I do as a Namibian.
Look at
so
that.
I was like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to start doing something. I'm going to try to, you know, go where I can, come where I can, and try to strive for opportunities for me to travel.
Yeah.
If I get one, then I go for it.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you created some opportunities and you finally got to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
couple of
and
times.
I'm hoping for more.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think more is coming.
Yes.
I believe more is coming. Yeah. And in your first flight, how was that like?
Guys, it's not a big deal.
I like that. I love how you say that. You know what? The other day I saw on, it's a post. It was written something like, what? Being on a plane is not a sign of success. Something like, it's a form of transport.
I don't agree, but then
I feel like other people will be like, oh, but I made it.
Like my first time being on, like, on a plane, I was expecting, like, you know how the plane goes. I was, you know how you see the plane in movies.
It
goes like, you know, but when you are there, it's so slow. It's like, it's not like, it feels like you're not moving. But honestly, it is not a big deal.
Yeah,
like, honestly, I would take a bus, an Intercape bus, over any, as long as I have seat 1 to 3, I would take a bus anytime. Cause like, when you have seat 1 to 3, like, you are at
you
the
can see
windows,
the view.
Yeah, the view.
Yeah.
Like, how you're walking through the country, the landscape.
Yeah.
And you can literally flex your chair back and sleep without worrying about, no, there's someone at my back. Like, honestly, bus over anything for
me. Ne?
Like, but we are going to catch more flights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. There's so much more in store.
Yeah.
So much greater things to achieve.
Ne?
That's quite interesting. Yeah. And then for somebody who, like, you being now in other places has having traveled, opposed to being here, of course, other places, I mean, like other countries.
Yeah.
How would you compare that, to Namibia, you know?
I would honestly say we are more peace, stability,
safety.
I think we are safe handling nation. We respect our peace.
Mm-hmm. And we love people.
And actually, one of my friends actually said, you know, I think these people are too nice. I'm scared, you know? You know, cause, one friend told me, like, in Germany, people don't even greet each other.
True.
People just wake up in the morning, they walk sideline each other, you know, like,
No
one is talking to anyone. No one says hi.
Ooh.
And it was actually, and they don't even talk about their problems in the open spaces. To them, it's something that is very weird to, like, why are you talking about your problems in public? You know, they are not used to, you know, being someone to speak to. Because if I have to compare happiness rates, I think Africa has good happiness rates compared to the Western world.
Actually,
I think we are more happy than. They have the finances, but depression is killing them.
Actually.
Yeah.
Actually.
To be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, just seeing different worlds allowed me to, you know, have more gratitude for what I have in life.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, to see that you are at a place that someone is crying to be at right now.
Mm.
And also journaling also has helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to my journaling, I love journaling a lot. Like, every day I need to write any positive
That
I feel happy
That's
about
nice.
Today. And, otherwise, I don't like visiting a country without seeing the vulnerable side of it.
You serious?
Yeah, like, I don't want to see buildings. I don't want to see this. Yes, let's have that city aspects of, you know, the but I also want to see who are the real people that are going through the system.
Mm.
what does poverty look like on these specs? Like, how does it look like in their lens, you know, these vulnerable communities? And I think that is also what I feel. If you don't visit the countries bad and good side, then you never really travel.
Actually.
And actually, that's why I opened up City Tours as well. As one of my first businesses. Hoping to launch it also very, very soon.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, time is of essence on my side right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is, I do informal city tours where I take tourists into communities. But my aim here, it's not to take them to watch. It's to eradicate poverty tourism. So poverty tourism is when tourists come, they take pictures of the silver town, the Himba kids, the what so on, and they just leave. You know, they post it on their social media.
Yeah.
And I think that does not resonate well with my soul. I don't like it. So me offering these tours is me bringing tourists with their skills and expertise and do change into communities. I want us to go buy food. We cook, then we eat with a family. We hear their stories. I want you to be a teacher. You work with me. We do homeworks with kids together.
Yeah.
Three or four. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
I love that.
So yeah, I'm hoping to come very soon. That is one of my greatest ideas.
Yeah.
I hope no one is doing it before me, but yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear of anyone doing it before you. And even if there is somebody doing it, before you, that there's something about each one of us have our own unique talent.
No.
So you'll bring a certain favor that the other person can't.
I think I learned a lot that from my mom as well. Cause like my mom is a street vendor and you know, it's a lot of them that sell the same products every single day.
Yeah.
And, one thing to be honest about people that impoverished individuals, us that live in these informal communities, we have a problem with so much jealousy, but this is not good jealousy.
Yes.
It's actually bad
toxic jealousy.
Toxic jealousy.
Yeah.
It's not that jealousy to say that, okay, I see Happy doing this. Let me also try and also, you know, strive for more. It's a thing to keep them like at your level. And they never seem to, and you get these allegations. I know my mom's personality is like mine completely.
Yeah.
I have my mom. My mom is me.
Yeah.
Her personality is me. So I love people. She loves people. She loves talking to people the same. And you know, in business, when you do that, and she gives also, she'll be like, you know, she sells and then she'll be like, oh, this person, no, you want matangaras for $10. And then she's like, oh, you only have a $10. She'll put on that cafe or the car, you know, kind of, you know, to give you. And I think then people, you know, starting appreciating my mom for that more, and then the more customers you get, the more dangerous it becomes, especially within informal settlement.
Yeah.
You get allegation, oh, you are a witch. You are using something to get customers. And I'm just like, wow. Eventually, even me going to university was witchcraft. Hey? Like, I just don't know. There's just this aspect. Like, I just wish there was good jealousy.
Yeah.
Be jealous and also improve. You know, you can't just be jealous and like be at the same place for years.
Exactly.
And I think, yeah, honestly, it's about really what your character is, what you give out there. And honestly, kindness can, don't give up on being kind. Maybe the next person might be your job opportunist offer or something. Yeah, or even
your destiny helper.
Yeah, or someone that could even solve that 1 minute problem you're thinking about.
True.
Just be kind
and
never stop being kind because of unkind people or people that are not kind.
Or people that are accusing you.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that affects us black people and that we spend too much time into, and I would also say that I could blame a lot of revival churches coming up now, is the issue of witchcraft.
Let's talk about that.
Is the issue of witchcraft.
Yes.
Every, you know, your uncle is now a witch, your mom is a witch, your dad, the person that is responsible for your lack of progress is your aunt, is your mom, because they are witching you and blah, 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 you know. All this, unverified stories.
Yeah.
And it's really killing us. It's destroying us.
Honestly, touching on that, this is my view, this is my opinion, disclaimer.
Yeah.
There's so much, 83% of the world's population are attached to a faith. And I think this already shows a lot that most trust is in either mosques, synagogues, churches, and because, or traditional places, traditional customs and all these things. So really to see a lot of churches taking advantage of, you know, there was areas where people are eating grass because the pastor mm-hmm. said so. There are aspects where people are giving away their last, the kid doesn't have a four application.
And it's happening right
now. Let me actually say, it's in happening our in our communities right now.
Yeah.
A child doesn't have a university application form. It's 350, for example, for an application form.
Yeah.
The pastor said, bring all your money you have. That mother is, this is real life. Dad, real life. The mother took that money to go pay the pastor and the kid is sitting at home with no school. Like, how is that working for? Like, what church is that? Like,
I think we need to do more to educate our people in terms of church-wise and
we need
detach
an interfaith
them.
Movement
thank
in
you.
Namibia. We
thank
need
you.
An interfaith movement in
and
Namibia.
Now we have a scheduled commercial break. So sorry. No. That is coming up. This is Life Lessons. Stay tuned. We continue that right after the commercial break.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
And we are back. This is Life Lessons. I'm joined in studio by Peterson. You're talking about interfaith movement.
Yes.
Yeah. Explain.
No, it was actually shocking for me when I had my first time being, you know, hearing of interfaith. Interfaith is where you get people from religious backgrounds that come together to solve global issues.
Okay.
And that is also a project that I'm currently working on right now. But to start, and I'm still writing a concept note to the director to start with schools first. This is just to say that, as I explained earlier, 83% of the population is attached to their faith.
Mm.
So in our country, 73 to 80%, like speaking correctly under statistics, if I may, is attached to a faith. And what about the rest of the other 30%? Are they included? So those are the things that we need to look at. How can we bring these faith communities? Because most of the people nowadays trust churches.
Yeah.
But what are the churches doing towards food insecurity and hunger? Do we still pray for what are they saying about unemployment? Are they creating jobs?
Are they encouraging their people to go back to school? Who probably failed grade 12 or something?
Or are we still praying for that? Are they helping pay for kids' school? Because I have seen churches whereby kids' food, but they still have three cars that are empty behind. And for me, I'm just like, what is this? You are driving, your seats are empty, you are coming from a church of holiness, but you are seeing these three kids footing from where you are going. And I'm like, that should be already a sign to you.
A red flag.
And I just think hopefully this project will be a success.
Yeah.
And honestly, so we just, usually in school when the Christians are praying, they'll be like, no, if you're not a Christian, please leave the room. You know, it happens like that.
Mm.
And like, what about the Muslims?
Mm.
What about the Buddhists? What about this child from India that, is here? What about those that come from traditional houses where they don't believe in God, they believe in their ancestors?
Yeah.
What about those? So that really my project is focusing on, is going to focus on more in interfaith work than just, focusing on Christian.
Sort of like all of them coming together to work together regardless of their faith.
Yeah. So like, this is where otherwise, because really, what are we doing? Like, what are our faith doing? Like,
I hear you, man.
People are still hungry. People are still on streets. People are still being used in churches.
Mm.
What are we doing as faith believers to combat all these issues? So
that's quite interesting, hey?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. But the whole aspect of, you know what? I want to address this particular part. You know, there's something that I've come to realize.
Mm-hmm.
one particular time, it was actually early this year, mm-hmm. as I was attending a counseling course, mm-hmm. And we were coming together, and this particular lady raised up her hand to say that she doesn't like to counsel people from LGBT and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I think we Christians, we sometimes can be very extreme.
Yeah.
You know, how do you expect, even if you now, if of course you're not, in support of what they do, yeah. what they perhaps believe in, what, and what not, yeah. that doesn't mean you should hate them. Yeah. That doesn't mean you should walk around, maybe treating them like they're your worst enemy and stuff like that, yeah. you know? And you'd be surprised that tomorrow something happens on the street. Yeah. And it's that particular person who's coming to your aid. And then tomorrow you want to really give a testimony and say, I want to thank God because somebody, but you're not going to mention
who that person is,
yeah. you know? We ought to love people.
Yeah.
We're not to go about hating people, bashing people because of their faith, you know? Just as much as I want to be appreciated, Peterson, or I want to be accepted regardless of my faith. Mm-hmm. I want to walk into a room, you know, feel and know that I'm loved.
Yeah.
Know that I'm going to be listened to if I have a presentation to present, mm-hmm. whether I'm wearing a hijab or not.
Yeah.
I don't wear a hijab, but I'm just saying whether I'm wearing one or not, accept me for me. Yeah. What is coming out is what you should pay attention to. Don't judge me because of what I'm presenting myself or whatever.
Yeah.
That has to do with me.
Definitely.
Maybe I made peace with the way I am and stuff like that. Hence why we really need to respect each other and love each other as well, regardless of the person's faith, regardless of the person's background.
Yeah.
You know, it's through your love. I mean, whatever faith you claim to be, it's through your actions that people will be able to tell whether you're really genuine or you're just floating in between, you know? And on the other hand, I really, really, my prayer is that I'm not a hypocrite. I pray that that's not going to be my end goal. You understand?
We have a lot of them, actually.
I don't want to be that. You get it? I don't want to be one. I really want, and where I am failing, it's really my desire that, oh God, help me, you know?
Yeah.
I want to portray I want to communicate love to the next person, regardless of who they are, whether they are from, and sometimes you're dealing with people who are not even from Namibia.
I'm telling you.
You know, this person is going to reflect and say, I met one person called Happy and the hospitality was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't being faked. You know, let the person say that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's really important to be honest, like being kind.
Yeah.
To that individual.
Yeah.
And now I just, there's this, when it comes to faith, it surprises me the most because you find, I know this specific church leader and we have met in the shop, like, and he was being racist, to be honest.
Yeah.
And all these things, like, and I'm just like, sir, I know you from church. You are a church leader.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he said,
I did not tell him actually in my heart.
Yeah,
like,
you
I
see,
know
you,
but
see what I'm
like
saying.
When I think they tend to forget because when they're in the different environment and they are not the same in the congregation. But yeah, I think it's really important to learn more on, and like really respecting other people's
faiths
as well.
Exactly.
And also understand that, you know, it's the places are not the same.
And living what we preach.
Yeah. And also living
what we preach.
Very important.
Exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of people tend to forget that their Christian life is more of the outward than, you know, it's more of what your behavior, your character. That's what determines whether you're a Christian or not. Regardless of your suit or your nice long dress to church, if your character speaks hate, speaks unkindness, speaks gossip, speaks slander, it's going to have you being questioned. Like, are you really being genuine, or are you being a hypocrite? You know?
I think more genuinity is rare these days. Honestly.
It's
very rare. Like, if you find someone genuine out there, please keep them safe.
Yeah,
because it's really hard to find genuine people.
Mm-hmm.
But also there are people that, sheep in a wolf skin. They're genuine too, outside, but inside their homes, their kids are suffering.
Exactly.
For example.
Yeah.
So you'd meet this nice, happy, but if you go to the school and ask the kid, are you happy at home?
Yeah.
And actually more statistics say that kids are not actually happy in churches, especially in Africa, because mm-hmm. this is where the most issues are happening, whether it's assault, whether it's violence, whether it's all these things, you know, just faith leaders taking advantage of people like, because of their vulnerability.
Yes. Because I'm a pastor, because I'm an elder.
Bring your
church.
Underwear so you get more blessings.
God forbid. You know what? While we're on this conversation, you remind me of this other particular, he was a lecturer. I don't know. I think I had it passed on. I'm not sure. But anyway, I went that morning. I needed, we used to submit our assignments, and at a particular time, you really need to submit it before. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to close. It's going to be late, and then you'll be deducted 5% deduction for every day late. So I needed to reference something, and there was a particular thing that I needed to do that I couldn't remember, but we taught it. Mm-hmm. And he was an IT lecturer, there at NUST. Mm-hmm. And I came in the morning. I came very early on purpose to come and find somebody and ask, and I found him there. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He was like, no, I don't know whether it was his time to pray or what. He was like, no, he can't help me. I had to wait for someone else, you know? And then, I don't know, after some days, I came to find out that then he's not a pastor, but he was a Christian.
Yeah.
And he wants to invite me to their church. I'm like,
wow.
I was like, you treated me the other day like you are a Christian. I didn't know that. No, really, I was just like, what? So in other words, I'm trying to say in there, like, you know, we ought to be really authentic, Shashi. Honestly. I get that sometimes we really have flaws within ourselves that we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
That you'll get maybe like a certain flaw or a certain mistake that you do here and there, and the people will be holding you accountable to it. Like, I thought she's a Christian.
But I think there's just something that, like, we need, it's like, it's a moral compass thing.
Thank you.
It's not like knowing a student coming early and, you know, behaving that way because they came to submit. And I think that is not even having to deal with faith. It has to deal with humanity.
Exactly.
Like, some things are just, you know, I think we need to rehumanize.
We have lost
a lot of it, to be honest. We don't have humanity in us anymore. Everyone is doing their own thing. Everyone is, you know, no one cares for the next person.
And that will bring us to the next topic, but not right after the commercial break and the musical break, about the humanist aspect of you. And you will explain to us really what it's all about and how we really need to go back to that particular line. So, but just to anyone out there listening, I would say, you know what? You just never know whom you're helping.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, you'll find this particular person behind the desk of a particular office that you need help. And then they'll be like, they might not, of course, avenge, you know, but it'll be stuck in them, you know. And first impression counts, and an impression, you make an impression of a person, it sticks for a very long time. But anyway, this is Life Lessons. We're taking a commercial break, and we'll also bring you a musical break. But right after that musical break, you can expect us to be back right here. We will open the studio lines right up after 30 minutes from now. Now 083-288-401 is the number in studio should you actually want to come through. For now, we'll see you after the commercial break.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Why do you seem so...
Takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah. I put my I put my armor on, I'll show you that I am.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, well, this is Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. I'm joined in studio by Peterson, and we are talking about being contained and just getting to know him and what a type of person he is. And I'm very fascinated by his character, hey, and the things that he's passionate about. And I think they speak volume through his videos, through Facebook. I'm not on TikTok because I'm not really a fan of videos.
Why?
Not really. And I feel like I don't want to spend a lot of my time
Fair.
But Facebook tends to be taking up my time. Why? I love reading, and so I'll be just invested in reading, and I'm like, I need to cut down on this. But all in all, Peterson, let's talk about your humanist aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that part in the, and I was like, you know what? I think this quite describes him well. Yeah, but I think, of course, you having spoken about your background, where you stay and everything, I think it instilled that in you.
Yeah.
And you know, there's one thing that we take for granted also. And when we're talking about being contained, it's being appreciative of where one is, regardless of whether they've achieved particular things that they desire to and they haven't yet. Because it instills certain characters, certain unique characters in us that you can find in the next person who grew up, not in the location that you grew up in. So talk to us about your humanist aspect.
Okay. Honestly, when it comes to being, an humanitarian individual or humanist, it came more from my mom. I think my mom served a really pivotal role in my community as well. Most of the time growing up, she was always this loving person, always giving back, always, you know, feeding the people that don't have.
Yeah.
Whatever is left, we can always give to the next person. She's always this loving person. You know what? Through that, she owned a cooker shop or a bar. And then, you know, that thing of her always like, oh no, you guys get an extra glass of Tombo, you know?
Yeah.
Or where are you going? No, come get something to drink. I think that also just allowed me to see the greatness of joy of giving, and also just look, saying that you have this person doesn't. Honestly, as I was saying earlier, you would be surprised of someone doesn't even have a pad, soap to bath with, or even simple things such as just, you know, toilet paper. And I think it just, you know, got to my head, like growing up there, seeing my mom fighting hard for us, you know, like fighting for me. You know, we always made sure we had soaps to bath. We had everything. Like there's no way I can say I ever slept hungry, despite my mom, you know, hustling on the streets and, you know, selling the things you could. Especially funny thing, my mom started selling a bucket of fish around the street. Like, you know, it was a $1 fish, so she had to walk around, like, you know, with it, you know, a bucket. So, and to see where she is now, even though to say that her job did not change, she grew in her business.
Yeah.
Which I think it's, you know, something that helped me to say that you build, it's an Ubuntu aspect, you know. You are because I am, and we are because of we are, you know. Through someone you can build a whole community.
Yeah.
And I am because you are. Mm-hmm. I think Ubuntu is one aspect that we should really start taking in Africa. And around, you know, just, you know, see this thing of doing something nice for the person. And it doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be, you know, you buying for them anything. Most of the people are actually, you know, build relationship with. It's just offering help, such as where is the direction of the toilet?
Yeah.
Which shop do you recommend it's good for this? Or no, sorry, you dropped your bag or you dropped your money. Here is it. Like things like that. It's just those simple human aspects of us that really can build, you know, greater community.
That's quite interesting. And having other particular people that you look up to, you spoke about a mentor earlier, and it's not quite often that you hear somebody speak about the mentor, you know. Are there particular people that you look up to in terms of humanitarian who just kind of like inspire you in terms of that?
At the moment, yes. I have mentors. To be honest, I have a list of them on my phone.
Nice.
Like, and I think I got to be an adult at a very young age.
Yeah.
So like most of my friends that I'm really, really have are adults, not really my fellow age mates.
Yeah.
Despite also adults being wrong in all aspects, I try to get the knowledge of the experience of what they did so far. So I just like, okay. That's why, you know, most of the time when I get harm from, you know, my peers, it's like nothing because I was like, oh, I got this story already from an elder. So, and most of the time living in informal settlements have allowed me to see a lot. So when I got to school, like, I was like, you know, people get shocked, get angry of like, no, my friend betrayed me. But what actually is shocking for me when I got to university, it was the aspect of politics, especially within student leadership.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes on there that people that are actually the right people to lead or to be in leadership don't get the opportunity to because of the elite kids. And I think I've witnessed this so much. And like, you know, this person is in the face of the world as a good, great leader, you know, passionate and all this. But we that are in the system, knowing what we, what, you know, is going on. And we are just like, wow. I think that was my biggest culture shock to say that. Especially the world doesn't have humanity in it. And honestly, to know that in leadership, it's mainly the elite kids that still get the opportunities because of power of money. You know, they can fund anything, they can pay anyone, and, you know, they get on top there. Like, and honestly, to, with, if it wasn't for humanity, I wouldn't be a student leader. Like, and surprisingly, I got elected while I was not even around. I won the election, and I think it's the good thing that people were saying, telling to me that, no, we've seen you doing this, you know, and I think that's what we need to do more, to be kind, to give to those that, you don't need to expect anything back, to be honest. And there was a time where I was thinking to myself, ah, you know, I did so much for these people, but like, you know, they are not doing it to the next person. Like, you know, why are you not doing that? Like, you have a job.
Yeah.
Okay, you're also suffering as a student. Now you got a job. What are you doing for that one kid in the community that is grade 12 that is looking for university? Why are you not helping them with the application or something, you know? And it's selfish for people to get these opportunities and they don't pass it on to the next person after they get in good seats on it. And yeah, I think the humanity aspect is just rare. It's rare.
It is rare.
You know, usually you would be in communities, you know. I remember if that time we didn't have something to plant with, like the seeds.
Yeah.
My grandma would always take, for example, what we have. And we had, if we had cows, we'll take like one meat leg and then we get a whole two buckets of, you know, seed. And then we'll cultivate that. Then we actually grow more seeds and more food we have, you know. I think this is something just to learn to that, say that you need to have a human aspect in you. We have currently wars going on, genocides, and you see these kids that, like, and we have laws that govern us to say that we need to have humanity. We need, you know, so much going on, but like, who are the laws really governing if they, you know, the world leaders' powers can, you know, victimize children. Someone that was supposed to stand in for a child, right, is the one victimizing children.
Do things and get away with them.
And do things and get away. Where do we really draw the line? So, honestly, with that humanity, I just want to extend to say that let's be kind, man. Let's be happy. Happiness is a choice. Let's be happy, but let's give for those that really need it. And let's not use the funds that were given to develop communities and use it up for on. I was just thinking now and before I came to this interview, we're speaking to my friend Hendrik about like how maybe even if NAMCO corruption, if they could have just used 3 million to build a school. You know, you could have done something so much.
But you know, still, even if they had done that, even if they had done that, two wrongs don't make one right. At the end of the day,
know,
we would like, still be criticizing, like you know. But yeah, like,
yeah, we just need that human aspect and the area of greed. And I think we suffer from overconsumption as well.
Yeah, ne?
We want everything.
Yeah, ne?
I'm very frugal.
Yeah,
but maybe it's just because I don't have money now. But like. I'm super frugal. Like, I will not buy, honestly, anything in the shop, especially clothes. I cannot. I can't.
Serious?
Like, and I just feel this deeper connection when I buy to the street vendors, because I feel my mom has that more.
You know what? Yeah.
Like,
okay.
My mom is a street vendor, and I'm like, I get appreciative when people can buy from my mom, and I get to go to school with like a kabaki, I think, like with a lunchbox to go. That is so, I would rather go buy clothes or my tomatoes at a street vendor, because I know that is someone helping a future leader. And surprisingly, I'm just shocked how police officers chase these street vendors around and all these things that is happening, not even knowing that you also came from there, and most of the world leaders, their parents had to go through somewhere. It's only now this generation really that, you know, corruption and, you know, generational, you know, sequence of really giving power is there.
I hope the law can really do something
about them. And actually, honestly, this is where my passion lies. My first academic essay was on street vendors. And I just want to provide solutions for them if we can. And we'll touch on that as well on my
project.
Where
there's a will, there's
yes,
a will.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
You're excited about something.
And you can tell.
Yeah. I'd like to know.
I'm excited about, you spoke about how you like supporting street vendors.
Yes.
And then it reminded me of your recent, I don't know whether that one was recent or probably I'm just scrolling it recently.
Yeah.
Whereby you were stocking up your fridge and then you're like, spending $500 in house street vendors, like, you know, we ought to really appreciate them. And you bought some tomatoes and you bought some narchis.
Yeah.
You bought some bananas and then you bought, you bought eggs.
Yeah.
You bought, and you're like my friend, she's a doctor.
Yeah.
And she walks a black chain. So she walks right across and she's like, you know what? And then the other time we were actually in Spa. And we saw a sack of oranges. And I was like, I just recently bought for my kids from Food Lovers a whole 7 kg. And she's like, I believe some of these things are just to buy in the street, man. This is a whole doctor, hey? Who can afford to buy anyway? Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and she told me that you need to come and shop at, you need to start doing your shopping at opposite me, Black Chain Day. There's a man that sells, like, which is so true. He sells, sweet potatoes for a very affordable price, like 20 bucks. Sweet potatoes are very expensive
it's
in the
very
shop.
Expensive in the shop.
Eggs, four for $15.
Yeah.
And she's, and I think that's why she's my friend, you know, because she's so cool.
Yeah.
I like people who, it doesn't matter whether this is the person you see her eating at a restaurant the wine bar, you still see her also
in single quarters
or at Black Chain shopping market outside there, the street vendors buying her food there. And that is the humanitarian aspect, humanity aspect that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes me really love certain people, né?
Yeah.
That particular character, that one speaks to me.
No, I really enjoy it, to be honest. I think that it can be dramatic, honestly.
Yeah.
Our sellers can also be dramatic. Our vendors can also be dramatic sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, I would give my whole support to them, honestly. And my aim was also like to make people aware as well through my videos that these people do exist.
Yeah.
And there was a time during COVID, surprisingly, I was very young. I was in grade 11 or 12. I spoke to the Minister of Urban and Rural Development. That time was COVID and the police came, they kicked my mom's things away, like on the ground, the meat. And I think that's where the courage for me really wanting to study hard really came from us. It's like, I want to change my life. I'm tired of this. So it was lockdown and we had nowhere to survive. That's my mom's job. Like, she's a street vendor. She's, it's the only thing that she can do.
Yeah.
So, like, they came and they were like, it's locked down. You guys are not allowed to sell. Here, my mom's bucket of things fell on the floor. We had to collect it. And imagine, like, you know, that his stock, loss of money again. And, you know, I stood up. Went to the Parliament Gardens. I was on the top floor with those other ministers. And that's where he introduced quarantine. Not quarantine, but like, what do you call the time frame? I forgot the term now. The term just escaped my... Curfew.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that's when they introduced curfew for street vendors to say that.
Oh!
Yeah, to say that.
After you spoke.
Like, I was there. I remember I was sitting there. I think was it a regional governor from Kietmans? I don't know his name. Yeah, it was years back. And like, they said, oh no, you should start selling from, I think from what to nine or two, you know, then you can go back. And yeah, cause it was heavy. Like, I need to go to school. Yes. And that time also I was in the hostel. My mom needs to send me food as well. And it was just heavy, you know, to watch, to say that they can't sell. Where are they going to survive?
Where are we going to survive?
Where are we going to get food, for example, for me, school fees and all these things.
Yeah.
So it was really just that motivation to say that, let me also advocate for these people.
Yeah.
These people also, they feed the modern slavery, slaves, which is those that even get 1.5 per month.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, there are people that are still working for $200. And there are people, I also made an emphasis on my video how I had to give fish heads. You know, I go at different houses and, you know, they throw away the gills and the lungs of the, is it lungs? No. The gills of the fish don't have lungs. I don't know. I always make that mistake. So yeah, you know, the internal organs of the fish, people, they beg for them. They want to eat them. They're like, oh, I throw food away, you know. And honestly, this just got to the core of my, you know, humanity to say that, no, man, like, you know, be grateful for what you have. And yeah, like, if life proceeds, life proceeds. But, you know, as you go, give gratitude.
You know, there's something that I once said here, is that where you are now is usually somebody's prayer point. Just right there where you are now, with your struggles that you're having right now, they would wish that they could be
there.
You know, have a bed they can go, can sleep in, blankets they can cover themselves in,
and even mother they could talk to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And even if you fetch water, that's also okay with them. Yeah. They could, because perhaps where they are right now, where they fetch water is so far, and sometimes they can't even afford to recharge their card stuff like that. So I think sometimes, as much as we are striving for better things in this world, and I believe that they will come. Okay. You know, sometimes sometimes you want something, ne? Sometimes you have to give it time also.
Yeah.
And sometimes the things that you want, they take time
and
a very long time. But eventually when you do get them, you appreciate them even the more. But there's something that I wanted to say about when something is very personal and dear to us, we tend to advocate for it with every fiber in our being. You know, I remember when I was advocating for something that's very, 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 dear to me, you know, I advocated for it with every fiber of my being again. So, that sometimes in the situation, sometimes where we are, we always see it as, I shouldn't be here, or why is this happening to me? But sometimes God orchestrated for a very specific reason that you be the one who is in this particular situation, so that you can then advocate and be able to get out, and the generation after you also be able to come out. Sometimes you won't come out of that particular situation, but the people behind you, they will benefit, and your name will live on as a legacy. And Peterson, I'm telling you, that is something very beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is to be remembered for one of the greatest things. I think that
is. Yeah.
One of an amazing thing to have, honestly, on your name. And everyone would wish someone, imagine like someone saying, oh, I'm a doctor because of this person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I succeeded because of this person.
Yeah.
My life changed because of this person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something just beautiful that people don't see when it comes to being in a humanitarian, you know, space. To see someone cry for just giving them 2 bars of soap and, you know, a lotion that is actually just maybe $20. Like, you know, they just, you know, appreciate that deep sense of appreciation that they have. I think that also makes me very, you know, sometimes you just come, you know, there's this pap left over that you were cooking, like maybe instant pap, and you don't want it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you just give it to this neighbor's kid. Oh, take and eat. And that kid running with that bowl, you know, going like, behind and going to eat, even hiding away from the other friend so he can eat his instant porridge that is left. It's not perfect, but like, someone just appreciates that. And that for me, really touches my soft spot of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where you wish you were a millionaire and you can just, not even millionaire, trillion. Yeah. So you could just help more people.
Mm.
And honestly, I know it's impossible to help everyone. We are not superheroes on earth, but we can be the change with the small seed we have.
That's true.
And to strive for greatness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, coming back to just where one is right now,
mm-hmm.
I think, the environment sometimes where we come from might not be all glamorous and might not be all pleasing and everything, but instills something in us so that when we have something bigger and greater, for instance, let's say for you, with your background, where you're coming from, and then they take you now and Paradventure Guard opens certain doors and you're now sitting at a particular, institution where you are now put in a position where you have to be a policymaker, you know, and you have to make policies in regards to people on the streets, you know, you would do it in such a way that
you connect to it more.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you won't turn back.
Mm-hmm.
You won't look back. You won't overlook. You won't, you will be so careful in drafting that policy to make sure that it's every thread of it, every fiber of it actually speaks to the core of the situation on ground.
Yeah.
But how can you do that? How can you better do that if you have never been in that position?
Yes,
you see? So as much as we strive for so many things, that strive for, I want to be here, I want to be that, I want to be that, we often overlook where we are right now.
Mm.
And even where we are right now has its part to play for where we are going.
Going in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that we can best do our best, or best, so we can give our very best when we are there.
Yeah.
And it's only when you are there that you realize, you know what? When I passed through the bush where there was thorns and what, it actually taught me something.
Yeah. And actually speaking about that, like, you know, there are times where I think like, okay, I'm done with school. There's no job. There's no employment.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Honestly, one thing else, I'm grateful for my mom. All the time grateful for that woman, to be honest.
Yeah.
Ups and downs here and there.
Mm.
But without her, I would be in a cockroach in an abandoned building.
Oh, yeah.
I love her with all my peace of heart.
Yeah.
Honestly, she's the reason why I'm standing today.
Mm-hmm.
She's the reason why I still have hope in my life and my future.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I'm grateful to say that, regarding the unemployment issue or employment issue, you have a paper.
Mm-hmm.
You went to school, and imagine someone looking for a job without that paper. How harder is it for that person? And I'm just like, I'm grateful. Okay. If one day I had to look for a job, even if it's a shop, even if it's a shopkeeper, like someone that is basic work, not even basic salary peanuts, but like, me with a degree holder can get the job faster than someone that doesn't have one.
Exactly.
So who am I not to be grateful for? And also looking, and I was like, everyone of my age is working and I'm here at home. And I'm like, but you just flew a plane and someone that is working never even entered.
Thank you.
Like, I'm just like, there's so much gratitude and things to be grateful
for. Thank you. Yeah.
And honestly, I travel to places where maybe none of the persons even ever tried to think about.
Yes. Yeah. And as much as they save up on their salary.
Yeah, it's never enough. It's
never enough.
So
they still have bills to cater to, you know?
Yeah. So I'm grateful for that, to be honest. And I think those are the small things that you must be grateful for. Water. You must be thankful for water because kids in Palestine need water. They need food. You are eating pap and fish with salt and water. People in Palestine are eating sand with water. So I think just one day take short break, like, you know, sit yourself down. What am I grateful for? Like, what do I really have? I have water. Despite me living in a bashu, I have light.
Thank you.
I have water.
We have a stove.
I have a stove. Maybe even a gas stove. I have a gas stove. It's not empty and I'm not looking for anyone to fill it for me. Exactly. My mom is there for me. And, you know, these are just grateful things. And honestly, if my mom goes without me getting a job, I think that would be the most hardest painful part thing, of my, yeah. I think I just like ask and greed on my knees to say that, you know what? If this lady has to go and please leave.
Not now.
Not now. Let me find a job and let's just do beautiful things together with her. Yeah.
You know what? We have a scheduled commercial break coming up. But of course, we'll be back to continue in this particular aspect itself. And I like how you're reasoning, hey?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Like I told you, you are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. And of course, we're talking about being contained and I think also just being grateful. And of course, I have Peterson Nyonanye with me in studio.
Perfect.
Yeah, great. You know what? Of course, we're continuing to talk about, the fact that you are a qualified teacher, but still, of course, job hunting and just keeping your head high. And I know, you're just, of course, another qualified teacher out there who's, hasn't yet secured that employment.
Yeah.
There are yet many more out there. And, I think at this point, I would just want you to speak to them. Yeah.
Oh, honestly, like, I know it's hard to go to, like, 4 years of all your life investing in something that could have been a business, major business. But, like, I think it's not easy to say don't lose hope, because these are people that has been 10, 7 years sitting at home. Like, to find hope is difficult. And, yeah, to be one of the statistics, it's quite scary as well. But speaking to them, saying, don't be shy to do anything. Like, you know, I still go out there and, you know, push a wheelbarrow or from a condo in the streets to sell for my mom.
Yeah.
I'll still, you know, dingle with my mom. And,
And still sell with her where she sells?
Where she sells. Yeah. If she's busy that day and she's like, oh, nice. No, I need to go. I'd quickly go pitch in and just to stand there for 10, 20 minutes. And then she comes back and then she continues.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, just try everything. Try anything. Whether it's, and don't sit at home.
Mm.
If you have a school close by, go volunteer at the school.
Mm.
Don't just sit at home. Ask if you can just help. At least go to that school and get more skills in your profession. Like, learn about subject. You might be surprised. You will find a gap that one day might be a business solution for the future. So, yeah, learn more about your profession. Like, you know, cause let's not just sit. I know it's hard, taxi money to go there, but if you have a walking distance school close by, wake up and just go volunteer, teach for free.
Mm-hmm.
You never know who that one teacher will say, no, there's this job here and they are quickly looking for someone. Can you pitch up? You know, referrals are one of the things that also took me far, and voluntary work as well. I do so much voluntary work and I think that has taken me far. If it wasn't for voluntary work, honestly, I could have, you know, still been at home with no hope.
Mm.
But yeah, I stand up every day and volunteer and go to these schools and try, you know, small initiatives to see what can I do into my society, what can I bring. If you have a phone, use it at your best advantage.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a smartphone, read news, read on policy, pick a policy advocate. Teach online about your subject content.
Yeah, nice.
With one view, there's just one person that is saying, no, this teacher explained this thing on Instagram better for me, you know. Teach online. Try maybe to start your online class yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tutor, for example. I know it's hard, but like just if you have a smartphone, use it. Data, if you have a community Wi-Fi, use it. And also to the, honestly, this goes to all ears. If they like, our libraries in informal settlements don't have Wi-Fi. I don't know how
really? They're being.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi doesn't work at all. Like I speak knowing that because I go there.
Yeah.
Most of the time you have this hope to say that, okay, at least let me go to the library,
mm-hmm.
Wi-Fi, teach myself a skill online. Mm. But the Wi-Fi is not working. Mahulili Center Wi-Fi is not working, doesn't function properly. It's not conducive. And I'm just like, what's happening? We have so much about informal settlement going on.
Yeah.
But basic things such as Wi-Fi and proper library structures are not even.
Whereby we have students, you know, who need to do their assignments
and schoolwork. Mm. Like, why is the library not conducive? Why don't we have enough computer? Why is the Wi-Fi not working? Mm. Like, at least provide the basic necessity, which is a strong Wi-Fi, for example.
Yeah.
And I think the government has neglected informal settlements very much.
Yeah.
And the more they neglect, the more the unemployment, we are going to expand those shacks, to be honest. We are going to build more and more every single day. And we are going to expand the informal areas and we are just going to increase the more impoverished populations because the opportunities are locked up from us. Even though they are there, there's always the bureaucratic challenge system where, you know, most of the time it's only the elite that get to get the opportunities, you know, to, it's really painful, like, to see that one, you need to present a certain character or to get this certain, you know, opportunities. And most of the things are advertised, but internally, these things already have owners. And I like our leadership and management lecturer once said, Miss Omalu, one of the great lecturers as well at the University of Namibia said, why waste someone's time to come for an interview? Why don't you just say the post is already designated for someone?
Yeah.
The inspectors come, they inspect the person, they view the person. If the person is a referral, then why are you wasting poor people's time? And honestly, before to them out there that is also statistics of unemployment or unemployed teacher, before you go to an interview, assess the situation, read about the school, learn more about the school, call, consult, ask any teacher that you know there, how is the system they're like? How is the employment they're like? And I'm just like, everyone I meet on my side, they tell me, no, Peterson, you need to have connections. You need to have, you need to know someone.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, like, which is actually something sad to hear, because what do you mean you are telling me I need to know someone to get a job? Was it not supposed to be a fair process, you know?
But I don't believe it entirely.
Yeah.
Like, of course, I know there are people who are corrupt and doing other things, but I don't believe that to get a job, I need to know somebody. You can get such a good job. Without that, it's not everybody out there that is corrupt. And I think even if they are doing, like, even if a particular school, that's what they do.
Yeah.
At one point, they must do the right thing.
The right thing, you know? No, yeah, I believe also something is meant for you there. And what I was really just emphasizing is the mindset of everyone coming, like, you need to know someone.
Yeah,
you need to know
someone, it's a wrong mindset. They need to.
And I think really they need to, you know,
change that.
Change the perspective towards that. And also, let's just not look into teaching. I feel teaching is so broad.
Mm.
We can do something. And I think also we just have this thing of, like, so much pressure to say that I need a job.
Yeah.
I need a job, like, you know. But, like, let's start something.
Mm.
Like,
I hear you, man.
Like, I'm a PE teacher. I would want, maybe, like, in my community, let's do our own car marathon, you know. Let's open up our own car, you know, community sports hub. Yeah. Where we just go jog every 5 a.m. and come back.
It's that which will cause somebody to refer you, something. But you just spoke something quite interesting, hey, about for those who are going for interviews must assess the environment and stuff like that. Let's talk about two particular aspects of my heart right now. Mm. One is, I don't know if this is wrong. But yeah, it's a Kwenyama girl going to attend an interview in Kavango.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't take that chance. Even if they call me, perhaps I applied and they call me. Maybe I'm being biased and I'm so sorry, but I wouldn't take that chance. Like, chances of me getting that job are quite slim. Yeah. Because they need somebody who can speak the language, you know, so that the kids can actually understand. But of course, I know.
It's like me literally saying, you know, a child from the north going to an interview for Windhoek High Gymnasium.
Yeah. Let's be a bit realistic.
Yeah, like, to be realistic. Yeah. Like, those schools, you know, they're most considered uptown school. Imagine us applying for that. Like, does it really work? Is there even space for us in those spaces? Like,
of course, there's space for those in Windhoek who probably get it, and maybe nearby who really. And you also, I think you must know the basics of even the way you articulate yourself in English.
Yeah.
And then for somebody coming from the north, might not be so
well articulated in English. Will they get that opportunity to teach in gymnasium in this, you know, these schools, these uptown schools? Like, does my English matter?
Mm.
And it's a sad reality, but it's there.
Yes.
Like, we tend to sideline it, but it's there. It's so much to work on, to be honest, but I'm glad our MM, which is our minister, she mentioned in her maiden speech that she will take her corruption heads on, and we are hoping to really see her invest in that, because it's really a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to create more, you know, opportunities, but we are hoping for a great future, and they did promise us. There is solutions, and they are on their way. We are patiently waiting, but as we are patiently waiting, we need to build something as well on our side. Yeah,
that's true. Apart from our president, I have a good faith in our current Minister of Education.
Yeah.
She's been heads on from the beginning when she was executive director.
She is, and I knew from the beginning. I was so happy because I was like, this director was already doing good from down.
And then her deputy.
I've seen one of the pictures that was shown to me. He went to the most deepest village school that never a minister was ever there.
He's going places.
And those kids, like, there was never anyone in that community. Like, and he went there, and I was like, first ever to reach there, first ever minister to reach there, to be honest. It's one of these schools very deep, deep in the northern villages close to Angola. And he was there. It's very far, and he's doing such. After I saw that, honestly, the respect just went.
Yeah, ne?
High.
I just love how he's so involved.
He's very, and for the first time, I've never seen a minister give out their numbers like that in public.
Yeah, ne?
And he actually said, you know what? Take my number down, message me. And he responds. I feel like usually when we see a minister, we'll be like, oh, it's a minister. I can't, I can't even ask. I can't even, but like you go in these spaces, they are talking to you.
They are talking.
They don't have that thing of, you know, I'm a minister. Let me sit, you know, let me sit that side. And you know, no, like, you know, when I saw Miss Tien come, like, no, you know, obviously she's surrounded by bodyguards, protection and all. But she was like, why come here? You know, like, we never had ministers those years even call us to say come. We'd rather see them on TV and television and that's it.
Yeah.
But now they are more of like community engagement. Yes. They're engaging. They're speaking. They're answering.
Yeah. And you call them up, you ask questions and they're really
just, you know, to speak. But really, I know it's not an easy job to tackle, especially with the unemployment, fixing a system that already existed as well, just because of media and statistics not reporting. But like, unemployment was there before, before they got onto the opportunity desk. And it's not easy. And I'm just hoping maybe they'll really find a good suitable solution.
Yeah.
But let's also show effort on our side.
And give them time also.
And what are we willing to push for? Like, what are we willing to do? Let's go. Yeah. And one person told me, as a teacher, you can actually start your own school. So, yeah.
You can. Your own kindergarten, your own. Yeah, so you can actually.
Yeah. Let's not really, you know, look down on ourselves. We have potential. I mean, you finished a degree. So for now, while you're sitting at home, educate yourself about education policies.
Exactly.
Read on Education Act. What can you fight for that is not being advocated for?
Or start that kindergarten.
Yeah.
Just that thing. You just never know.
But I really pressing the matter of like, learn your education policies. Since you're a teacher, when you get into that field or that opportunity come, you don't have anything to look back and to say that I don't know my laws. Yeah. No.
Interesting. Now, I didn't open the studio line. I'm so sorry. 0832-888-401 is the number in studio. But I think I had actually said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Just to be fair enough. Another aspect that I want us to talk about is interviews. I have seen my cousin firsthand. You know, for a long time, my cousin was struggling to get a job. That was now some years back. And she says, you know, she'll be called for an interview. She'll come back and nothing. They won't call her back. And so one day I actually accompanied her and we went to, a particular place and we just popped by to ask. And the lady was asking a question. She was so shy. She was looking down. The lady was asking her. And she couldn't even speak. She couldn't even look at the lady. And I'm like, girl, and you expect to get a job from who? How? Like that? Until I actually understood her problem. So I think I'm just thinking that perhaps for many of them, it could be how they are conducting themselves in an interview. What do you think about that?
Honestly, the job interviews I have been so far, I'm just like, most of the time, yes, it's all about skills and qualities. I remember applying for a sports coordinator at Delta, and they never even called to say your application was unsuccessful. And I think that's something that is very discouraging, is the fact that get back to the individual, highlight out the weakness, send it to them, you know.
And but I think it maybe sometimes it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. That's why we have innovation. That's, we cannot be speaking about global technology and innovation while there's a huge gap in that.
Yeah.
Why are we still submitting hand? I think the hand submission of, you know, applications are the things that are killing me the most. Don't we have portals that we can work on?
Yeah.
You know, we start with portals first. You know, you submit your thing online, they review online. Like, there's so much that can be done. And then, you know, we have an education portal. Once you graduate, you upload your, you know, your degree, mm-hmm. you upload your things. Then, like, you know, interviews, you just submit your papers. And when you're called in, you're called in for an interview,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think we can start with those small things there. And honestly, my idea towards these interviews, had so much, felt so much, mm-hmm. but like, yeah, it's just barely like the feedback you don't get.
Yeah.
I think that's what's discouraging most of the people to apply is because they don't even give feedback. If you can't, you have time to really process and evaluate the process and give people feedback, give them on the spot on the interview. Highlight the, like, to say that, no, since maybe the process will be long to, you know, look at everyone and immediately when you're in that room, after the person is done with the interview, assess their weak points already, assess their mistakes, since you don't have time to get back to them, you know, do it there in the front line. Yeah. And I think just not getting feedback at all is what is painful. Not even knowing if you are successful or unsuccessful, yeah. wasting my copies and all these things.
I still remember when the Ministry of Health, yeah. I think it was Ministry of Health, mm-hmm. I had applied. It was now some years ago, yeah. and they sent back my CV, and I was very grateful.
Yeah, honestly, that is, I would be happy for that. Just send it back so I put yeah. it somewhere next. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to challenge myself and going to ask Delta for my CV. Honestly, cause like we can't be wasting
Please
resources.
Go ask it. They might just tell you that we
honestly,
need you now. Come.
No, honestly, just get it to me. And lucky enough, the individual that got the spot was more of highly qualified individual.
Yeah.
Mr. Haofiku. And I think I spoke to him during the Region 5 Youth Games. Mm. And yeah, that's just the networking aspect, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, he said, yeah, I can come in to assist. I think there's something in there, like an event happening. I still need to get to him. I don't know when it was because I was busy this whole week. Mm. I was out. So hopefully I'll get back to him and see what we can do.
All in all, Peterson, what is that you, I and of course, having this conversation,
yeah.
I drew up a lot of things that I can see that you're passionate about, yeah. but what's the one thing that speaks to your core, you know, that you're really passionate about that you would want, like in the next few years, I don't know, that you would want your fingers printed on it that I had my part to play in this policy making or in this particular thing that just got created here and there.
I just want, honestly, if I had to put a print on what I want it to be, honestly.
Yeah.
I just want to see, you know, kids happy, man.
Aww, man.
Like mothers not drinking, gender-based violence not as loud as it is anymore.
Yeah.
You know, kids being happy to be at school mm-hmm. and not actually find it as a place of boredom mm-hmm. and, you know, stress and, you know, a place where they can like wake up energized for. That's also one of my prints. And yeah, the policy, it's so hard to fight political aspects. Because, I mean, the reason why people that are then cannot fight it is because there's something within the system that is controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we are governed by, you know, so many world powers, Western powers. So you can just do as much, you know, as also. Because sometimes when I also look at our ministers, you know, they can just do as much. There's so much policy work to do. There's so much change that is needed within paper-wise.
Yeah.
We still have acts of 2001, 1998, act of war. And I ask myself, who really writes this act? Who wrote these acts?
Yeah.
And to change them, what causes it? What does it mean? You know, and this issue of the red line as well was a very, honestly, a good questionable issue. When was it drawn? By whom even? For who even? You know, even though it was really a controversial thing, like the questions were relevant. Like, why was it there? You know, and it was really an interesting case. And I think it takes time. You see, it took a lot of fight and work to get it maybe even approved as a case, for example.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that is my key aspect is just to see a child not hungry to school, to see more mother and father headed households out there.
To see more?
Father and mother headed households.
Man.
Yeah.
This is really beautiful.
Because honestly, in informal settlements, mothers are the only ones taking care of houses.
I don't think it's just an informal settlement thing, hey?
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
But I speak for where I am for
okay,
now.
Thank you,
yeah.
Thank
you. Like, cause I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the Kleine Coupe aspect. Maybe they can speak for themselves. But yeah, it's my society. Like,
yeah,
it's there. It's,
exactly.
It's mainly women. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. Who knows? Maybe Kleine Coupe is really
yeah,
different.
Maybe we can
it's
have
the
a
same.
Horse and speak about
and Kleine Mendoek.
Yeah.
Quite different. Yeah, I think it's all about fathers running away from their responsibilities and
yeah.
things getting hard at home and then not sticking them out.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, when we talk about a failed marriage, we often speak about, let's say, these a couple that's getting divorced in court.
Yeah.
But when you actually think about it, a couple getting divorced, if we say maybe 200 cases in court were dealt with in regards to
divorce.
That's 400 people because
yeah.
it's 200.
And it's increasing.
It's two people. And behind those 400 people is children that are
yeah.
behind that. So yeah. So that aspect, I sure hope to see that as well. Like
yeah.
our community being raised up by more mother, father.
Yeah. I see psychology centers in, like, honestly, I don't like the aspects of life skills teachers anymore
yeah.
because the social dynamic aspect of, like, you know, mental health is changing, is shifting.
Yeah.
I think life skills teachers are not of essence anymore. We really need the real psychologists in school.
Real social workers.
Social workers. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's not only about the child, about the teachers as well.
Because
most of the issues we have in schools is teacher and child, teacher and learner. Teacher
yeah,
and learner,
man.
How can a life skill teacher speak to a teacher about what is happening? How do you understand the dynamics of the two? So when you have this psychologist and the teacher and the social workers, she gets to, you know the dynamics of adult, you know, mental aspects and a child mental aspects, and you know, she can really connect the two. And I think that's also one thing that I really want to passionately say it must be done. And I think there is a positive action towards it. I think our ministry is doing quite well, to be honest. It's not fast, but like, I think so far the progress is doing great. They are visiting schools unexpectedly. I remember the first instant when Miss Sanet Steenkamp got into office, it was an issue about Koi Koi Kova being removed from a school
yeah.
or something.
Like, whose mindset was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I don't,
like,
I was
why would
questioning
you,
why.
Anyway.
And I think, they also held this, eradication of poverty learning campaign, I think, or was it initiative there?
Yeah, not so long ago,
a month ago. Yes.
And
I think that
and
was.
And poverty.
Yeah, and poverty learning. And I think that was also very important, honestly, that they actually checked on that, that kids need food, to be honest. Kids are going home hungry, you know, coming from school and not expecting anything to eat on the table.
Yeah.
And honestly, there was a time where. I don't know, like, lockdown was so important as well. It had benefits because people were doing something. Alcoholism was low. Like, you know, if we could bring these NDF people again to say that this time is closing hours, there's no alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
I think that constant engagement would be nice and just to reduce a lot of crimes as well. And I hope we had maybe Babylon Watch, hey. Like, you know, in informal settlement, we also have neighborhood watch.
But
the good thing about us, we are our own neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
You know, when you come still there, we just use one term, Kelelen. If they say Kelelen, just be ready. Yeah, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think that that community building relationship is really important. And I just want to see more people happy, I think. More people happy. More people farming together. You know how we used to visit in the village, you visit and you start pounding when you find people pounding, you start working on food.
Yeah.
Just the community
Let's
where,
go back to that.
Yeah, where I see, even though they're in, like, maybe in the 5 years, to be honest, that is a short-term goal when it comes to these aspects. Maybe we have medics in the Okahanja Park, we have a doctor in Okahanja Park that is just there when, you know, someone is sick, there's this doctor around for us. More mental health facilities, more libraries, kids having uniforms, you know, for proper uniform. men. Yeah, just it's all those societal issues that I'm focusing on.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much I want to do, but I can just do as much.
Yeah. And I think with time and with the right people in, you know,
in the right spaces,
those things will get done.
Yeah.
Yeah, with time. But nonetheless, it was such a beautiful conversation that we had right here. I personally really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I think those who know, who are faithful listeners of Life Lessons, they can tell when I'm really invested in a conversation like, you know, this one. Really, I appreciate that. And I just hope that you just go out there and continue with what you're doing, man, and make your impact.
So honestly, this is a greater step to, you know, to one more push of guidance to do great and to continue doing what I love doing.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's not much time to do a lot of content now because honestly, the responsibilities I want to do is, as I said earlier, there's projects that I'm thinking of running and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of writing, policy intervention, and you know, but I'll get back to my feet very soon.
Cool. Yeah. Because I hope this also serves as a reminder that there are people out there watching. And you're making impact.
Thank you for those that are watching, honestly. Like, there are so many beautiful people out there, to be honest.
Yeah.
People that you don't even expect. And it's always the strangers.
Mm.
I forgot to mention that strangers support you more than friends do.
Yeah.
Like, I was so shocked. The people that share my videos, the people that like my videos, most of them are strangers.
Yeah.
And like, you have this collection of people you call best friends, but you have to beg them to say, oh, no, please share this.
Don't be that. Don't be that person. Don't be that person who says, like this video, subscribe and check this.
Let them naturally be. And always I ask when people say, I like your videos. I was like, which one do you specifically like? Cause that's when you determine who's really a true, genuine viewer or they are just, you know, big monetary spirits. But you know, they are watching. Honestly, I'll just keep doing what I need to do.
I hear you. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
And then you had it from Peter San. And of course, you can catch him, you know, where you can find him. So you can obviously be updated with what he's all about. Now, of course, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. Now, should you be interested to listen to this podcast, to this conversation again, head over to our podcast session, right? If you have downloaded the Eagle FM app, make sure that you continue to listen to Life Lessons and not only Life Lessons, to more shows coming up your way right here on Eagle FM. Now from Indafa, happy Shisha, it is goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful Saturday and make sure that you get enough rest to be ready and back to work on Monday. Goodbye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just
you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest, you can beat the world, you can beat the war. Talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the hall of fame.
distance. You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile.
You could be the hero. You could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people. Do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country. Do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
sitting in the hall of fame.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
Yeah.
Cause you burn with the brass ring.
Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
Yeah.
And you'll be on the walls of the hall of fame.
Be a champion. Be a champion. Be a champion. Be a champion.
Teachers, be politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers,
yeah.
Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows that doesn't have capacity? Why should you do that?
Your constitutional
doesn't
rights
have capacity to build.
Eagle FM expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. Is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ay, as banque en este año.
Thanks to the night. Tanda nang on nambe za tali wang. Thanks to the night. Tanda nang on nambe za suti wang. Thanks to the night. Tanda nang on nambe za tali wami. Thanks to the night. Tanda nang on nambe za suti wang. Mangendo gubu yang kuz. Uyang kuz. Uyang kuza. Mangendo gubu yang kuz. Ankoni na no kamba man Talim telim pinda gule silo angisa sona Ilanembeza tali Nguwe pela lagi Nagwi magete Angsa tola gali Nguwe pela lagi Nagwi magete Angsa tola gali Saying Suganga, Tananang on the bed, a city one. Saying Suganga, Tananang on the bed, a city one. Mangan to go boy and coos, who young coos, who young coos are. Mangan to go boy and coos, who young coos, who young coos. Saying Suganga, Tananang on the bed, a tally one. Saying Suganga, Tananang on the bed, a city one. Mangan to go boy and cool, we are cool, we are cool. Mangan to go boy and cool, we are cool, we are cool.
Cool.